Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another Sunday with the Four Elements. This is Wind.
This is your boy Earth.
And this is Water.
And tonight we're going to pick up off of our last conversation about the law of attraction. But this time we're going to go from the angle that actually is your point of attraction for all the things that you want and desire. And I would term that as happiness, the things that make you happy, satisfied, and fulfilled, the things that make you, you know, in a positive vibration. So tonight we're going to talk about some of the things that make us happy, and I hope that this week it'll be a more interactive conversation with our audience. And I hope that you guys share the things that make you guys happy and the things that that you want to manifest in your lives. So for anybody in the audience that wants to participate, just simply hit the one, and that will indicate that you want to participate in a conversation with a question or a simple response to something. But again, we hope that that you guys really participate. We want to hear from you. The reason why we do this show is for you, not for us. We want live interaction from the people in the audience. So I'll just start off with myself. Things that make me happy. I was just sharing the other day with Water that, you know, when I was a little kid, I really enjoyed sports and making money. You know, being free from school, not having to worry about grades really, and going outside and having fun with friends. That's what really made me happy. I could, you know, play sports and play video games all day. And, that was, you know, life was carefree when you were. Another thing that that made me happy was making money. You know, when it snowed up, you know, I grew up north, and I used to shovel snow to make money. And it was a great feeling to, you know, make lots of money just shoveling snow all day and counting that money. It was a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of independence, and making a contribution to other people, because people, you know, didn't want to shovel their snow themselves and before going to work or after work. So I just want to open it up with you guys, share a little bit about what makes you guys happy, satisfied, and fulfilled.
So this is Water. So for me, I, of course, like you say, when you were young, I mean, what had me satisfied and fulfilled, happy, was to play. So whether that was playing with my friends, playing video games, playing sports, playing just in any shape, fashion, or form, and at times it could have been with just using sticks or cardboard boxes, because it was all about imagination. And really, honestly, I've carried that over into my adult life. For me, I own my own business. So for me, it's still to be in my life, because that is the most important thing for me, that I continue to play. And I try to stay in tune with that five-year-old within myself, try to keep it 5 years old as much as possible. And that comes out a lot in my business interactions, because putting together deals with people, a lot of times you're just making it up on the fly. And, you know, it really gives me a sense of happiness to just play. So it doesn't really, for me, have to do much with money today. as much as it has to do with just to have that freedom to just be free and play. And it kind of leads into the next thing for me, which is to really want to live instead of living the life for something else. And that can change. I mean, I'm a human being and we're emotional beings. So at times I may shift and say, okay, well, I want to do this now instead of what I thought that I wanted to do beforehand, because I like to just follow my heart. Some people call it gut. Some people call it intuition, whatever you want to call it. I like to follow that because for me, that's kind of what I term as the life that I want to live. And so for me, that's very, like, that gives me a very fulfilling sense, and it gives me a very good sense of happiness when I actually do those things. Just because, again, for me, it's all about keeping my life in tune with the inner me, and I think that's probably what I mean by staying in tune with that 5-year-old. You know, the 5-year-old was, that's before I had a lot of my, you know, I was more of a blank slate back then when I was 5 years old, as opposed to now that I'm nearing 40, I have a lot of life experiences that have kind of, they're now filter a lot of my interactions. So for me, that's what it is. How about you, Earth?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the same. For me, it's play. You know, being able to play. excuse me. And when I say play, I mean, you know, I just like being outside. Like, that's when I'm at the peak. When I'm outside running around getting dirty. So if I go outside and I play, get dirty, go out with my boys, mountain bike, and come home smelling like a muskrat, then I know I had a great day. Period. And also, being able, like, what I consider as playing is being able to, like, tinker with stuff, because I'm, you know, I still like toys. I just recently bought a drone, and, you know, that's one of the best things I bought myself this year, period. Even though,
wow,
it's just, you know,
nice.
We haven't been in this year that long. But, yeah, so, and then it just, you know, inspired me. You know, I felt like a kid. So now what I want to do, so like, one of the things I did when I was a kid all the time is when I got gifts, you know, electronics especially, I took them apart and then put them back together. And then attempted to, you know, out of spare parts from other broken toys, build my own car and or whatever. So, you know, this inspired me to build my own drone. I went online and, you know, found the parts, and I'm going to just build my own drone and see how that works out. So for me, like, that's when I'm at my best, when I'm actually using, you know, my gifts and things that, you know, that I'm good at naturally. Like, that's where, you know, I'm just, that's what makes me happy, so to speak.
Are you going to put a GoPro on that drone?
I already have it on there. I actually have a couple of GoPros. I put it on there already, and I flew it around the neighborhood, flew in the parking lot. I live down the street from an Ace Hardware, so I flew it in the parking lot, and the police were walking out of the Ace Hardware, and I flew it in front of the police, and they were looking around like, where the hell did it come from? Like, that's how they were looking. It was actually very funny. I flew it around, videos, a lot of stuff. What did
I say? Have you posted any of those videos?
No, not yet. No. No, I have a few of them. I have quite a few little videos, but no, I haven't posted any yet at all. Not at all. But, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. So now, you know, I just got inspired to build my own drone, but make it bigger, better, and, well, not necessarily bigger. I want it to be bigger than I have, but, you know, better and faster and with more gadgets on it, you know. Because I thought about putting sonar on it, giving it some intelligence, because, you know, I'm going to write a software application to download into the drone, the one I build, is what I'm going to do to make it do whatever I want it to do. So it just inspired me to do that, and I'm extremely excited about it.
Have you guys noticed that, like, when you're happy and, like, when you're fulfilled, that more good things happen to you? And then when you, like, if you have a space and time when you are, like, a little bit down, or, like, you hear a bunch of negativity, that it just snowballs into that negativity as well?
Well, when I'm well, this is what I do, and I may do something to cut off the negativity at the head, and didn't realize I was doing it until you just said something about it. Like when things aren't going well for me, usually I'll go and jump on my bike and go mountain biking, and just ride as hard as I can till it like literally feels like my heart is about to pop out of my chest. And when I get back to the car, I feel great. And it seems like my whole world shifts at that point.
Wow,
and
that's exactly where I was going, is that what do you do to stop that negative snowball and create something that's polar opposite? So, that's a great example.
Yeah, for me.
What about you, Water?
I actually meditate. So I kind of, for when I actually have, I guess when I'm in that space of negativity or whatever, I actually meditate. And I try to really get in tune with myself. For me, it's always a getting back in tune. So I'll do that to actually break the chain, if you will. And to really just, to be more specific, because people say meditate or whatever, I don't do the IOM or any of that stuff. I really just sit. I don't do any kind of weird poses. I just sit in a comfortable chair, really couch or something, get real comfortable. And then I just get in tune with my body, meaning I feel how my body feels. I close my eyes, just feel how my body feels. And for me, once I kind of feel the aliveness in my fingers and my toes and the rest of my body parts, you can't do that and think at the same time. So then, after, once I get to that place, I then basically will begin to imagine myself doing those things that I want, that I want in my life, kind of going back to that place, but I'll actually visualize myself. So it's a combination of meditation plus visualization for me, because I found those to be some of the most powerful things for me to get back on track. And when you and I have talked about it, where I pretty much have created a character almost, where I just basically know who I want to become, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like. You know, I kind of know all those details in a nutshell, and just continuously visualize myself with me, what I do whenever I get to that space. How about you, Wen? What do you do when you get in that space?
If I ever feel myself get into some sort of negativity, I try my very best to catch it immediately. And I might, you know, if I'm at home, if I'm by myself, I might put on something that's funny, like some type of comic show. I might watch Cat Williams or Kevin Hart, or I might watch some old Eddie Murphy flick. Or I might watch some good movie that actually distracts me. I find that movies and comedy, you know, are a very healthy distraction, because you get involved in the storyline. You get involved with the joke, and, you know, it takes you away from whatever you're dealing with personally, or whatever you heard, you know, from your friends and family that might not necessarily be the most positive conversations. And, you know, like Earth, you know, if I don't do that, I might go out with some friends, or I might hang out, you know, I might go on a date or something like that. And, you know, usually that's a very great distraction from my thoughts, or from previous conversations, or something that I experienced. It's nothing like good company, good friends.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, that's another thing. And I do, at the same time, do that as well. Like, having sometimes to take some things off your mind is great. I find exercise, like Earth, I find exercise to be a little more, it's almost like a discharge. It's almost like I've had so much energy built up and, I guess, held back, prevented so much energy from flowing through myself, that whenever you go and you exercise, then you kind of just release all of that. So it kind of puts you back to that state. But, yeah, man, hanging with friends is always good. I know that the Elements, we got together a couple of weeks ago, man. Dude, we were in there, like, laughing like little school children. I mean, it was just, we had a blast hanging out with each other. And that's kind of, in a nutshell, of what you're alluding to, when it's like, man, you know, when you get with, that's another way for you to just release all of that energy that you've been blocking in your body to get into that negative state.
Yeah, one of the most beautiful arts is Aikido, and the intent of Aikido is to master the flow of energy. And that's, you know, one of the things that I learned from that is, you know, that's true in, like, real life, not just physical confrontation. It's also, it's true in all aspects of life. If you're capable of mastering the flow of energy, then nothing can really stick to you. Nothing negative can stick to you. And so what's great about what we're talking about is that happiness and being fulfilled and the things that actually get you there actually transfers negative energy and actually converts it to a positive energy.
Wow. So, you know, I just thought about something. So let's really look at the conversation. I'm going to take it somewhere. So when you all are dealing with stuff, like, well, not even dealing with stuff, but just from, you know, we all named a bunch of stuff. Like, this is, you know, for me, sports and being outside. And so, and for you, when it's, you know, making other people, providing service for people, and, of course, making the cash to add on to that. And for water, you know, you and I are kind of similar in that, you know, some type of activity, like sports and playing. Actually, we use the word playing. And since, you know, we're all adults, so does sex satisfy that desire to be happy in the same way that, like for you, water playing, and for you, when, like, making a little money, providing service to people. So how does sex play?
Absolutely. Sex, you know, just being intimate with another human being, you know, first of all, it distracts you from everything that's going on in life. I mean, you're not thinking about, you know, bills, you're not thinking about eviction notice, you're not thinking about foreclosure, or you're not thinking about anything at that particular time. You're just one-on-one with that human being, and, you know, it's a great thing. And, you know, just like you were talking about being physical, the physicality of sex allows you to release pent up energy and let things flow again. I mean, that's really what orgasm is. It's allowing you to have flow again.
Yeah, I'll second that. To also say, for me, it's not always just about sex. You know, it's when mentioned something, a key word, which is intimacy. And so for me, intimacy is also that actual time that you spend with the opposite energy, cuddling. It could be laying together. It could be watching a movie. It could be talking, walking, you know, but just having that feminine energy that, you know, you do have that intimate, you have that intimate connection. So that's a whole nother thing, because at the end of the day, if you actually really get in tune with it, what ends up happening is you just create your entire bubble. And it's not like you can do that with every person, but if you really get in tune with it and that person is in tune with it as well, then you can actually get a connection going where it just creates that exactly what Wynn is talking about, but something greater than just the sexual thing. Because, of course, you know, I mean, he kind of covered, Wynn kind of covered everything about the sexual aspect of it. But there's that other aspect of it, of just having that feminine energy and you guys creating that whole entire bubble, if you will.
Cool. And actually, I was going to go to intimacy next. But, yeah, so I'll answer my question and then go into the intimacy aspect. From a sexual perspective, yeah, both of you guys really hit the nail on the head, because it does, like, during that time period, it takes my mind off of everything. In the same way, when I'm out mountain biking, the last thing I'm thinking about is whatever my concerns are. That's so far removed from my mind. It's the same way, you know, with sex. And for me, I don't know if you guys have read the five love languages, you know, it speaks volumes to who I am, because that will, when I have those things present, and those things are for me, dang, I'm trying to think of the five. Oh, yeah, yeah. So three out of the five, I took a little test at the end of the book as I read it. So three out of the five, I scored very high. Two of them, there was a tie score, and the other one was only like 2 points off. And those were physical touch, words of affirmation, and quality time. And to me, that's like an extremely intimate moment, you know, when I have those three things going on at one time, you know, with someone. And that puts me like in this space of happiness, extreme happiness, you know, when those things are going on. I mean, it could be one. You know, it doesn't have to be all three, but when all three are happening at the same time, it's a whole nother world. You know, and the only other time I get that same feeling is when I'm out mountain biking. It's like a whole nother world. So, yeah, intimacy is definitely high on the list as it relates to things that bring happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction for me.
What I love about intimacy.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, what I love about intimacy is it really is a space of what's possible for the world if everybody would just chill out. You know, it's a peaceful space. It's a space of creativity, and man, if we can have that every day, wow, what a world this would be. Man, can you imagine world without war? Like, everybody's happy and, you know, getting some?
So I'm going to pose a question. Just kind of shake the conversation up a little bit. So do you think that, well, for you guys, is it necessary to have, like, the three elements, basically, you know, the title of the show, happiness, fulfillment, and satisfaction? Do all three of those things come in a package, or have you experienced them separately, or do all three of those things come in a package for you?
I would say this is when I have experienced them separately without question. Like, so, for example, you could have sex with somebody and be very happy and not necessarily be really fulfilled and satisfied, like internally, mentally, spiritually.
Right.
Or you could be happy playing sports, but that doesn't necessarily satisfy you and fulfill you. Like acts of service, you know, providing something for somebody or some purpose that's greater than you is satisfying and fulfilling for me. And so anything that I do as an individual, I might be happy and have a sense of elation. But as far as satisfaction and fulfillment, it really is about, you know, helping others and helping community do something that's greater than what we could do as an individual or you know, in solitude.
What about you, Water?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question, and I mean, I agree with what Wynn is saying. I mean, there's different. They can exist. I guess your question is really have I experienced these things in different. It's just that I think that. And now that I'm thinking about it, maybe they don't exist separately. It's just that they are on different levels, meaning, you know, one thing may make you extremely happy, but if you're fulfilled, then you're gonna be happy, but not to the same level that you're going to be at the extreme happiness, if that makes sense. Like, some things can make you happy on a 10, others can make you, like, happy on a 5. And same thing with fulfilled and, you know, the other one. So that's kind of what it is for me, is that I think that, now that I'm, because I was just thinking about that question, I was trying to work that out in my head, and now I want to actually take that back and say, I don't think that they are separate in the vacuum. I think that there's just different levels that we experience, where I experience different levels of fulfillment or different levels of happiness in different things that I do or accomplish. That would be my.
Yeah, and you know, I was actually leaning on that side, because I was thinking about it as I was asking the question, and initially I was like, yeah, I could definitely do them all, and I've experienced them all separately. And the more I thought about it, I was like, well, actually, you know, I've been happy, but not have fulfillment on the same level as my happiness. You know, because I can go to a comedy show and just be happy and laughing like crazy. I don't mean I'm fulfilled, but there's some fulfillment that exists, like you said, but not may not be on the same level. And, you know, there's some satisfaction that exists, but it may not be on the same level either. It's like, you know, if we look at the five love languages, like gift or receiving gifts or whatever that the one of the five love languages is, like on that one, I scored a 0. Because really, if somebody gives me a gift, it has nothing to do with love. But that doesn't mean that there's not a sense of satisfaction that exists, or a sense of fulfillment or happiness that exists. It's just not, somebody got me a gift, it's not often I'll be overly exuberant about it. You know, sometimes, yeah, but a lot of times, no, because that really doesn't bring me, you know, an ultimate level of fulfillment or happiness. Now, those of you out there listening who want to give me a gift, by all means do. That doesn't mean I don't appreciate it. So let me be clear about that. It's just not going to bring me like this high level of satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment at all. Usually it doesn't. Now, I actually like this. The topic we're having today is very interesting, and actually had me look at, you know, fulfillment, and even in this conversation, I'm looking at fulfillment in a much deeper way, and looking at satisfaction and happiness, you know, in a much deeper way. And it's true that, and this is all my opinion. It's, you know, a lot of times people say, "Oh, you have to, you know, only you can make you happy." And I get that, but I think that more so than that, like, nobody else can make you happy.
Like, I don't believe that only you can make you happy. I believe that you can, like, for me, I can create the space for me to be happy and someone else to fulfill me. So that's my choice, whether or not I allow somebody to fulfill me in a certain way, or make me happy in a way, in a certain way, or to satisfy me in a certain way, in the same way that I choose it for myself. So I don't think it's you have to have one necessarily to have the other. We create space for that to exist. That's why people are able to be happy and with, you know, other people providing whatever level of happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, and they're not doing it for themselves, even though they could. If they did it for themselves, they may not be as happy. You know, so I think that in my opinion, it's a two-way street. And for me, you know, the stuff that make me happiest is, or fulfilled or satisfied, the things that I actually do myself actually make me, you know, get me in that space. But it's like the level of intimacy, and I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's so many different degrees of happiness. Like, it's not all sitting, like, on one plate and, like, oh, this is just happy. This is just, you know, happy is just happy. It's like, for me to give myself happiness or satisfaction or fulfillment from an intimacy perspective, yeah, it's just not going to happen. You know, and I honestly, I don't really have a strong desire to make myself, you know, happy from an intimate perspective on a consistent, all-the-time basis. I just don't at all. So I think a lot of times our happiness and fulfillment comes from, you know, it comes from us, you know, definitely, but we have to create the space for that. And there's so many different arenas of happiness or degrees of happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. Somebody's about to say something?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, on that note, we have a caller in the queue. So I think this would be a good point to let the caller to interject with either their question or comment.
Absolutely.
So caller, last four digits, 5745. State your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or your question. You're live.
Well, good evening, Elements. This is Daydia calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Daydia.
Wow. One of the wise women.
Yes.
Two wise women.
Daydia. This is an awesome topic that you all are having. Thank you. I just wanted to add on to what Earth was saying, and start off by saying that was pretty interesting. And what I've observed with people who are not happy, you can't do anything to make them happy. That I believe that we can contribute to other people's happiness, and that we can be interested in their happiness. But if they're not, it's like they have to be happy already or have the ability to get happy or be happy. And if they are not, for instance, like people who are depressed, that you do to make them happy is they got to do something to move beyond it.
It's interesting that you said that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No,
I was
going to say that. I would agree and say that, you know, people have to choose to be happy, and it's not anybody else's responsibility to make somebody else happy. It's their responsibility to generate themselves and create the space, like Earth was saying, to make themselves happy. I mean, just like you said, Jadea, we contribute to other people's happiness, but fundamentally, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because if you're not there, for me, it's wasted energy. I'm doing this dance, I'm singing a song, I'm doing a clown face, and you got the sour face. It's like, what's up with that? So, yeah, people have to be open to happiness already. Now, we can have a bad day, and I can listen to comedy and it'll pick me up. But once again, I'm open to shifting. I'm open to elevating my mood. But if I'm not, then it doesn't matter how funny Kevin Hart is, I'm just not going to be receptive.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go with this conversation, because, you know, now we get into the essence of what happiness is all about, you know, how to really attract things that you want. The only way that you're going to attract the things that you want and desire is to understand that you have a fundamental responsibility, a fundamental choice to make yourself happy and create the environment that you want and desire. And once you are in that space of happiness and carefreeness and fulfillment and satisfaction, then good things will begin to snowball and avalanche towards your way. And it's a habit that has to be practiced on a daily basis, given that we're inundated with negativity and bombarded with news every single day from the media, from friends, from family, from work. It's a habit that you have to take on yourself. It's something that you to be conscious of at every single moment to actually have and generate for yourself. That's your point of attraction.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and I'll just like to say, I mean, JD articulated, you know, my thoughts way better than I did. So I definitely appreciate her for that. And, you know, it's just so important that, you know, you create the space for yourself. It's like everything you just talked about when, you know, at the end of the day, I can sit there and create, but if I haven't allowed myself the space to receive the satisfaction either from myself or from others, having them contribute. Hell, at the end of the day, it's a contribution to myself as well. Nothing's going to happen. I'm still going to be walking around here looking like a sourpuss or whatever. So, yeah, that was definitely a really good point.
Yeah,
what you got
you
over there,
can,
go ahead.
I was going to say you can, you know, have affirmations and, you know, speaking to you blue, but if you don't actually feel the happiness and feel the freedom and feel the satisfaction and feel the fulfillment inside, then those affirmations are simply mute. It's about a feeling, a vibration that you have on a consistent basis. What is your vibration on a consistent basis? Is it happy? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it sourpuss? You can
mm-hmm.
control your vibration. You can control this. And if you do it on a consistent basis, I promise you good things will happen on a more consistent basis.
So this would be my question for the three of us, because we, you know, I really want to look at, like, what can people do, because I'm sure that there are listeners out there who are like, okay, I've been trying, you know, I bought this tape, I bought this DVD, you know, I bought this audio. Did I say tape? Oh my goodness, I'm aging myself or dating myself. Anyway. I bought this CD, I bought this DVD, and, you know, I, you know, went to Tony Robbins, I, you know, I've done all this stuff, and I'm still, like, in the same spot. I mean, I had a glimpse of fulfillment and happiness and satisfaction, but it was fleeting. So, for you, water, like, what do you do on a consistent basis? And, you know, all of us probably do something different. So what do you do on a consistent basis to have you stay in a place of satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness? I'm not saying that every moment of your life is like that, but what do you do consistently so if you fall off the wagon, you just get back up within a given period of time?
Man, what do I do? So for me, I create routine for myself. So I literally, because for me, you guys are right. The motivation is not really where it is. It's all about habits. It literally is all about your habits. Like, we really literally are our habits. So you smoke a cigarette once a day or more frequently, you're a smoker. It's, you know, it's not really a label. It's not a death or a doom sentence or whatever, but that's just who you, you know, that's what you do. You just smoke. So for me, I'm clear about, like, it's all, like, I am a set of all of my habits because we're creatures of habits. I mean, they studies show that we drive the same way to work. We go the same way to our friend's house. We travel, you know, we do the same thing every day when we wake up almost, and we do the same things, you know, on the weekends. We just kind of creatures of habit. So for me, I try to create routines for myself, and I have my routines written down so that basically there I know. So then I can actually see what you were saying, or pretty much when I fall off the wagon is what I'm hearing the question being. So when I fall off the wagon, when I wake up in the morning, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, that doesn't always happen every day. It just doesn't, because I'm the kind of dude that has these, like, you know, grandiose type, you know, monstrous goals or whatever. So I have all of these different things I want to do, and they just don't happen. For instance, I don't like meditating 20 minutes twice a day is on my list, and it doesn't happen every day. It just doesn't. Why? It's because I'm not taking the time to actually go and form the habit, because I know for me, I formed several habits, and it's almost like the 21 days thing. It takes 21 days, and, you know, science just shows that it takes X number of time. Not 21 days is the magic number, but it takes a sustained, consistent time frame for you to do something, for you to get into the habit of doing it. So for me, like, my whole life really revolves around my habit, and I try to actually dictate the habits to myself that I want to form so that I'm actually the captain of my ship. Man, I don't know why I don't work out. I don't know why, you know, I don't meditate, or I don't know why I haven't started that project that I've been wanting to, or I don't, you know, like, I want to know why it is that I'm not getting whatever going back to what I was saying initially, why I'm not actually playing the way that I want to play. And to me, it all starts with the hat. So that's what it is for me. How about you guys?
For me, there was a time in my life where, you know, things were not, you know, going well. And I literally, deliberately thought about the things that made me happy when I was a kid, that It's the basis in which we started this conversation. And I started off with that inquiry as to what made me happy when I was a kid, what made me feel free and relaxed. And, you know, the answer that I came up with was I enjoyed sports. You know, I enjoyed, you know, competing with other kids, and I enjoyed the exercise of being outside and being outdoors. I enjoyed music, you know, so I incorporate music into, you know, my happiness. You know, I watch, like I said, comedies. I watch movies. I enjoy watching movies. You know, I enjoy going out with friends. I enjoy, you know, working out. I enjoy eating good food. I enjoy sex. I enjoy intimacy. You know, I enjoy reading. I enjoy learning. I enjoy being in school. You know, I enjoy making money. You know, so I would start with writing a list about the things that historically have made you happy and begin to consistently do that. One of the other things, too, is that, you know, I'm very conscious of when I'm feeling off or feeling like I'm going to the left. So if I ever get that feeling, I'm so conscious now that I immediately interrupt that, and I immediately do something on that list to steer my ship the opposite way.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, those are some really, you know, really good responses, and there's some of the things that you all do that, you know, I do. And one of the things for me that I do on a consistent basis is just is stay active. So, and it, staying active, you know, keeps me grounded and keeps me connected to myself in a certain way, and keeps me aware of myself. And, you know, really, over time, that works, but I always felt that there was something else. And really what we haven't talked about is, it's like for me, we haven't talked about the spiritual aspect. So for me, like there's a huge spiritual component in place, you know, for me, which actually helps to keep me focused. So it's like, okay, I have this huge degree or this large degree of self-identity, you know, which definitely works, but it works to a certain point for me. And, you know, I get great results from that. And then, you know, adding a very deep level of spirituality to, or having spiritual wellness, awareness, or you can call it nature awareness, but having self-awareness and having, you know, or self-identity and nature identity, you know, has made a huge, huge difference for me. And it, that's the thing that keeps me, it's actually kept me grounded, kept me aware on a level that's more profound than any other level that I've experienced, when the two are in concert with each other. And so that's like stuff that's very important. The two have to be in concert with each other. And that has kept me, even seeing that I'm falling off the wagon before I even fall off the wagon. You know, I can see this, I can see the pitfall or the obstruction in the middle of the road, so to speak, you know, before it's even like physically visible. And then I can just make some choices at that point to avert it. So for me, it's just keeping those two things together and keeping them in sync or in concert, which has made the biggest difference for me, totally. And one of the things in doing that is really acknowledging and recognizing, like, just my ancestors. Like, that's just doing something just that simple has made a huge and profound difference for me. You know, totally.
And so, I'd like to add on to that, too.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
I want to add that, you know, one of the things that mentally bogs people down is a feeling and thought of powerlessness and being a victim, having a victim mentality. And one of the great things about remembering our ancestors, you know, is the power in which they generated themselves and how we've come so far to where we are right now. And if we can remember that on a consistent basis and be appreciative and grateful for our sojourn throughout the diaspora, then there's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that we can't accomplish. So there's no real sense of powerlessness. There's no real sense of being a victim. you know, one of the great things is to wake up in the morning and be grateful for all the evolution that we've experienced as man. I mean, modern day plumbing, you know, I'm thankful for my car. You know, I'm thankful for that I'm able to go to and fro wherever, and I'm safe and secure and protected. I'm grateful for, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. I'm grateful for air conditioning in the summertime and warmth in the wintertime. You know, I'm grateful for, you know, the flowers and the trees and the birds and the bees. I mean, there's so much stuff to be grateful for. I mean, and it's so many indicators of man's power all around us that it makes no sense for us to feel powerless or to feel like a victim. You know, every time I go onto a plane, an airplane, you know, I'm just amazed at man's feat to defy gravity and do it on such a consistent basis and move 300 people, you know, on a consistent basis every day, all day, and do it safely. You know, when I think about the, you know, NASA and going to the moon and creating a space station, I mean, all that's indication of man's feet. I mean, when I think about the building of cars and the building of buildings, all those are indicators of man's capacity. And if we can continue to keep our eyes on those things and even greater things that we're capable of creating, then there's no reason for us to feel down.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, while you were speaking, I was thinking about, you know, even people having, you know, self-identity and what that means. And it's not, and sometimes I think we look at self-identity as, or personal identity as, you know, something that's personal to ourselves only. But having a personal identity is just very cultural, you know, and it actually exists on a spiritual level, but more so on an internal spiritual level, having that identity. And even, you know, going so far as to knowing exactly who you are. Because sometimes we walk around, you know, with these labels that we label ourselves with and saying that, oh, I'm a man, I'm a woman, you know, I'm an attorney, I'm a doctor, or what have you. And, you know, in reality, are we any of those things? You know, and I argue that, you know, from an identity perspective, yeah, but from a spiritual and from a pure humanity perspective, I argue no. And for me, it's just recognizing or having that personal identity on a spiritual level, meaning the spirit of yourself, like who are you spiritually, and having it from a pure human perspective. Who are you as a human being? Because you're not a doctor, you're not really an attorney. You know, you as far as your gender is concerned, that's a toss up. You know, but if you go beyond that, are you a man or really are you a woman? You know, or are you just, you know, a being who has, of course, attributes of a male or female, which distinguishes the two. But when you go a layer beneath that, you know, does just being an attorney or just being a male, just being a female, is that bringing you satisfaction? Just having those things stand alone by themselves? And I argue no, they don't at all. So I think that there's a whole nother level, and I don't even take the word think out of it, there is a whole nother level of self-identity that we can achieve and recognize and learn about that goes beyond like the mundane of what people would say self-identity is. Oh, have confidence. Well, how do you get that confidence? Have high self-esteem. Well, how do you get that? You know, and really take the you should do or you should have out and really start talking about how do people achieve those things. And it may be different for everybody. It's like this woman that this story just popped in my mind, this woman who was on drugs and alcohol for years. And there's an organization in, where's that? It's in Colorado. And it's about reconnecting with your indigenous self. That's what the program is about. There's a woman that started this program. And what I'll do, if I could find it online, I'll actually post it on our site. But what she does is she has people go back to their roots. And this woman, she was Irish, and that's all she knew. It was just like she was Irish. Her parents were immigrants. No, excuse me, her grandparents were immigrants, or her great-grandparents were immigrants. So, you know, that's all she knew about herself. You knew a little bit about the culture from an American perspective. And like I said, she was on drugs and alcohol for years, and she went on this journey, and she went to Ireland. And she actually began to really get some self-identity and personal identity of who she is, found out she belonged to a clan, found out like what that clan practiced from a cultural perspective, from a spiritual perspective, and, you know, her just returning to that place of origin for her made a profound difference. And she got off the drugs and alcohol because what she got for herself is that she was actually searching for that all her life. So the drugs and alcohol didn't serve a purpose. She didn't have to go to rehab, didn't go to AA, no program. She just stopped immediately. Once she had her self-identity, which came along with that personal spiritual identity of who she is. So there's always another level that we can look at in order to achieve an identity of who we are, which to me brings about, you know, that happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction on a consistent basis. I know I just said a lot, probably took a lot of time. What y'all got about that? Got to say about that?
Yeah, I you know, what's interesting that you made that comment, because I immediately thought about the journey of Malcolm X, and the journey of Malcolm X was from somebody that was, you know, lost on the streets to somebody that became empowered by reconnecting with who he really was. And, you know, he became a phenomenal human being and somebody to be admired.
True. Well, it looks like we're down to the last 60 seconds of the show. Do you want to take us out, Wynn?
I wanted to leave everybody with this, is that all of us are powerful human beings beyond our perceptions, beyond our beliefs. And I just simply want you to know that, and know that you're responsible for your own happiness, and that you can choose to generate your own happiness. And that is, in fact, your point of attraction for all goodness to happen in your life. So if you want to control goodness from happening in your life, control how you feel. Control your choice to be happy.
Yeah, and this is Earth, and I definitely agree with Wynn. You know, definitely choose to be happy, because, you know, happiness is really a choice at the end of the day. And really start to discover what it means for you to make that choice. And really finding out what it means to make that choice, it's just simply asking. Put it out there and ask, like, what is it for me to be happy? What would it take? If you're not going to find, I promise you, you're not going to find it in a book. You're not going to find it on the audio CD. You're not going to find it on a DVD. You're going to find it within yourself. And all you have to do is ask. It's just that simple. It's not rocket science. But that's it for me. You want to take? You have any last word, Water?
Yeah, I mean, what those guys are describing is just all about playing with it and just exploring. And the only way you can do that is to stay open. Because some people don't think that they know what makes them happy or feel satisfied. So, like Earth was saying, just fast, be open, explore. We'll see you all next week, same time, same place.
Be a kid, be childish.